Well, good morning again. It's great to see you all here this morning on this snowy November morning, right? It finally came. Welcome. Welcome to Springville. Well, hey, today we are wrapping up what I would say has been an amazing sermon series, and it was one called When God Speaks. And today we're going to look at how he speaks through the church as a body of believers, which is partially, largely, in fact, facilitated by the gathering which we engage in today and the relationships that go even beyond this time together, but that many times start right here and right now, right? And they grow from there. Now, to begin this discussion, I just want to ask a few questions. And each time something applies to you, each time that you can agree with something, I just want you to raise your hand, okay? So here we go. Have you ever gotten a timely word of insight or a timely word of guidance from another believer? Ever happened to you? Yep, me too. Just the other day, in fact. Thank you, Tim Frank. Thank you to people like Burt Watt and Jane Chandler. Next, have you ever received a note in the mail? Maybe a text message, a phone call? Have you ever received something like that from a fellow Christian that encouraged you at just like the right time? Yes. Me too, okay? Thank you to people like Denise Warner and Ann McCarthy and many, many others. Have you ever, okay, here's the next one. Have you ever reached out to fellow believers for prayer and just like felt the burden lift as they prayed? Yeah, lots of hands. Me too. Thank you to people like Cliff and Martha Stone and so many others. Next, have you ever received a gift? You know, maybe some financial support from a church or from a church member during a difficult time. Yeah. Right? Me too, okay? Thank you so much to people like JP and Shannon Nabosny. And again, so many others throughout the years. Next, have you ever had a sermon? Have you ever had a sermon just like resonate with you as if you felt that the preacher was speaking directly to you? Me too, okay? When I sat in your seats, yowza, okay? I must have needed to hear a lot from God, and I still do, mind you. But that happened to me a lot, especially under Reverend Shell from an old Baptist church that I used to attend. Lastly, have you ever felt like just this instant bond with a brother or a sister in Christ? Maybe someone from another country or someone from a totally different context than yourself, meaning like a different age group, a different demographic than you. Have you ever just felt that bond? Yeah, many hands. Me too. Hello, Zambia mission trip, okay? Now, during that exercise, we're done with it, but during it, most hands were up. I got to tell you, from my vantage point, most hands were up most of the time. And I just want to encourage you, keep those examples in your mind, because next week, and I'm going to mention this later, but next week, we are going to testify as a church. We're going to give some time after we celebrate some baptisms for you to share how God has spoken to you through this series and just overall how he's moving in your life, which is how those questions may resonate with you and could resonate with the entire congregation. And let me just say, okay, I know I mentioned some specific names of Christians, of people from the body of this church and other churches that have blessed me, which I got to tell you, super dangerous. Because someone might get offended. Someone might get offended by me not mentioning them, but just know, okay, from the bottom of my heart, truly, okay, each and every one of you, each and every one of you in some way, shape, or form has blessed me and been a blessing to me. And if I could, I would name each and every one of you who have blessed me and how. In fact, even if you're new here with me today and us today, your presence, do you know what? That edifies me. Your presence strengthens me. So I praise God for all of you called the church. And again, if I had the time, each name of each and every person in this space would have been mentioned. Because I love you all. And I love pastoring this church. because it's a blessing to me too, you see. But with that, I digress a little bit, okay? Right now, what I want to do is I want to move on. I want to move on, and I want to talk about how God speaks to us through the church per what the Bible says to us to support the examples or the evidence that we just displayed that he, in fact, does those things. Now, there are a number of illustrations in Scripture, a number of illustrations in the Bible that describe the church. But we're going to focus on one that is found in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. So you can get there now in your Bible. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. As you get there in your Bible, it will be on the screen, but I encourage you to get in your Bible. As you do that, I just want to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for how this gathering edifies and challenges us and grows us and blesses us, and it blesses you because we worship you through that. We worship you through the words of our testimony and what you have done through others for us, because we're all resources for one another in the kingdom. So Lord, thank you for this time. We just pray as we look at your word that, Lord, it would help to grow us, to challenge us, and to excite us for what you're doing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's jump right in, and I want you to see as we read, if you can identify how God speaks to us through the church per this reading. And I must say, it's rather obvious. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 22. And God placed all things under his, okay, under Christ's feet, and appointed him to be what? To be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Did you catch it? Well, Christ, okay, Christ is the very head of the church. That's what Scripture says, to which the rest of the body submits and surrenders. Now, the Greek word here that is translated for us in Ephesians 1 into our English word church is ekklesia, okay? Ekklesia. And honestly, there is nothing really special. There is nothing uniquely Christian even about this word ekklesia. For it simply means a gathering of citizens in a public space or a public place. It means an assembly of people in that way. So public school could be considered an ekklesia. The local Rotary Club, an ekklesia. So was the last rock concert that you went to. It was technically an ekklesia, a gathering of people, again, in a public space. And so an ekklesia is what we are here this morning as well. But the difference between our gathering, and it's an important difference, church. The difference between our gathering and any other gathering, any other ekklesia, is who's leading it. And for us, the church, it is Jesus Christ. In fact, let's back up just a little bit. I want to back up just a few verses from what we just read to even see more clearly, or I guess you could see more exactly, what this means. What it means that Christ is in fact the head of the church, the head of this ekklesia, and why it sets our ekklesia apart from any other. Now, before we read it, I want you to just know that Paul, okay, in this first part of Ephesians, well, he is praising God. That's what he's doing. He is praising God for all of the spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ. He is praising God for things like our adoption into son and daughtership. He is praising God for things like grace and redemption and forgiveness. And then he goes on into thanks for how he, God in Christ, how he has made known to us the mystery of his will. All according, mind you, to his good pleasure, to God's good pleasure, which he purposed for us in Christ. It's just all such good stuff, okay? So because of all this, Paul is so thankful. He is so thankful for the church in Ephesus as he hears about their faith. He's so thankful for that. And thus, after stating that, and as he begins to close this chapter 1, he prays for them. And that's what we're going to read. Verse 17 to 23. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, so that you may know him better. And church, pause right there. This really, what we just read, that really sums up everything we've been talking about regarding how God speaks and why he does so. But then Paul goes on. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above any rule, any authority, any power, any dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only, mind you, in the present age, but also in the one to come. And the next verses, which we read earlier, well, they just really bear repeating. And God, writes Paul, he placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Christ, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every single way. You see, Paul was so excited. He was so excited about what being a follower of Jesus meant for the individual. But he was also just so excited for what it meant for the body of believers. The body of believers that make up this thing called the church. So because of that excitement, he prays. He prays for our hearts to see the hope, to see the inheritance, to see and experience the incomparably great power of God. So great a power that it is the same power, church, that was exerted in raising Christ from the dead and bringing him back up to heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father, where he still resides today. He still resides there today. Above what? Above every possible ruler. Above every president. Above every leader. Above every governor or government. Above every authority is what the word says. For above every other name, now and forever, is the name and the Christ himself. Above any name, our Savior, the Christ. That's who's the head of the church. That's who the head of the church. It's not some fickle celebrity who changes with the ebb and the flow of trends. Christ is the head of the church, okay? And not some self-interested politician who is susceptible to things like corruption and scandal. Christ is the head of the church, and not some out-of-touch academic, okay, who maybe loves doctrine and calls him or herself a pastor, but loves ideas and loves scripture and loves theology more than they love people. Christ, church, the one and only, okay? Christ, the one and only Son of God, who defeated sin, who defeated death, and who now sits in the heavenly realms with everything, mind you, under his feet, he is the head of the church. He is why we gather, for he is the beginning, he is the end. In fact, there is no end. There is no end of the church. The church, in other words, it's not a building, though buildings, they come in useful, right? And the church is not a social club, though fellowship is important. And the church is not a political power, but it, the church, his bride, it in fact transcends any human construct. It transcends any human construct of government, and his church will long outlast. It will long outlive any nation, any regime, any philosophy. His church will remain. It will never die because, again, who's the head? Christ is the head. And he already defeated death. And for he himself, he said in Matthew 16, 18, he said that he will what? He will build his church. And the gates of hell, he said, he will build his church. And the gates of hell, well, not even they, shall prevail against it. And I want to pause right here and right now for just a minute, okay? I want to pause because he has been building this church. He has been building this church, the Springville Crossing Campus of Revive. He has been building it in this season. I'm telling you, I see it. Growing numbers on Sunday mornings. Amazingly powerful Sundays. Three people being baptized next week. Now we have four community groups. A couple months ago, we had one with over 50 people. With over 50 people engaging in his word throughout the week. A thriving men's group, and I mean thriving. We have a budding women's group, okay? And we have so many external caregiving initiatives, letting what? Letting our community know that Christ is for them. Letting our community know that the church is for them and not against them. Christ is building his church. He's building his church in this season, and I say all that to ask you to praise him with me. But with that said, okay, now that we've clarified what the church is, now that we've clarified who it is that leads the church, let's talk about how God speaks through the church, all right? Let's talk about that. Well, as the head of the church, Christ, he empowers the body to work interdependently to hear from God. Let me repeat that. As the head of the church, Christ empowers the body to work interdependently to hear from God, and mind you, to obey his word. Do you recall last week when we were in John chapter 5, and that's where Jesus said that he only does what his Father tells him to do? Well, you got to know that the church, okay, the church operates in a similar way, in the same way, except now, church, instead of just one working and working through one man, there are literally billions of us working how? Working interdependently across this great globe of ours with Christ as our head. Amen. Amen. And notice, I didn't say independently. I said interdependently. For we cannot and we are not meant to be independent followers of Christ. It just doesn't really work that way. Which is why physically gathering like we are today, that's why this is so critical versus something like listening online or watching some TV or internet preacher. Now, we know that there are seasons and we know that there are weeks where we can't all gather together physically. But all I'm saying is that shouldn't be the overall pattern if it's at all avoidable. And this is not a legalistic thing. Don't hear me wrong. This is not a legalistic thing. This is not a selfish thing from a pastor. Like, of course the pastor would say, be in church, right? Church, this is a your and my faith suffers thing. That's what it's about. Because when we are not active in the ecclesia, do you know what? God can't speak in that way. So we are missing a lot. We're listening to a lot of communication from God in that. And our hands, remember our hands that raised earlier? That would be a lot fewer, right? Agree? We need the community. We need the community called the church. Because God uses us. He uses us to speak to one another, to bless one another. And you may have heard, or maybe you've even said, there's a saying out there, maybe you've heard this, maybe you've said it, you know, I love Jesus, but I just can't stand his followers. That's not biblical. In fact, that is heresy, okay? Because as the body of Christ, we are called. We are called to set aside differences. We are called to set aside different differences that don't jeopardize the core of this gospel that we're following. We are called to set that aside. We are called to work together to fulfill the mission of God. And if you're thinking that setting aside differences sounds impossible, I'm telling you what, it is. It is impossible on our own. It is impossible with ourselves as the head of the church. But with Christ in charge, with his spirit coursing through our collective veins, it's absolutely possible. And I want you to know, I just got to let you know, if you don't like other Christians for whatever reason, race, creed, color, style, I don't know, or if you have a disdain for another denomination or just denominations overall, I got to tell you, then you're not going to be able to stand heaven very much because there are true believers all across it. all across it, and we're together in this. We are together in this with all of our faults. We are together in this with all of our shortcomings. But most important, we are together in this with Christ as the head. As the church has its head in Christ. As the head of the church, Christ empowers this body. He empowers us again to work interdependently, to hear from him and to obey his words. And again, I didn't say independently. And I also want to say, notice that I didn't say dependently, okay? Now, what I mean by that is not everything, we've got to know this, okay? Not everything said to you by a brother or sister in Christ is from God. People can be wrong. People can be hurtful. And people, sadly, can be downright toxic sometimes. And although these harmful Christians, they tend to get the most attention, they tend to get the most airtime, they do not represent the majority of Christians worldwide. And all I'm telling you that for is to tell you this. If a brother or sister in Christ, including a pastor, including me, if a brother or sister in Christ speaks a word from God to you, it must be affirmed. It must be affirmed by the other things that we've talked about in this series. It must be affirmed by things like the Holy Spirit of God, Scripture, prayer, circumstances. So what exactly does it mean then to be interdependent? What does that look like? Well, I don't know if I can fully describe that, but I think visually it may look something like what we're going to watch right now. I'm going to ask them to play this clip for a second. So this is the Ohio State Marching Band, about 200 people. And if you notice over here to the right, they're making a phone booth where Superman's going in. And then it's going to become a cape. And they're going to go over here and they're going to straighten this building as Superman. Over 200 people working together toward what? A mission, right? A mission. That's pretty awesome. Now, in a second, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to do that to see Paul's description of an interdependent body, this thing that he calls the church. But before we read it, I want you to know that he begins by saying that one body part, and you've probably heard this, but he says one body part cannot say to itself, you know, I'm not an ear, I'm not a hand, I'm not one of these really useful parts. I'm not even worthy being called a part of the body of Christ. Paul says you can't say that, okay? And similarly, he also says that one body part, writes Paul, isn't to say to another, you're not that important. We don't need you. Because you know as well as I do, okay? Think about this. You know as well as I do, Paul is paralyzing this to the human body. You know as well as I do that the human body, it has so many life-giving. It has so many amazing functions. It has so many amazing uses. I mean, we need hundreds of parts, right? Not to mention the millions of individual cells and nerves and blood vessels. Well, in a similar way, the body of Christ needs all its parts as well. It needs your part. It needs my part. And I got to tell you, not just for the temporal purposes here on earth, but to serve church and to praise God even beyond this life. It needs all of us forever. So no matter if it's used a lot, your part, somebody else's part, no matter if it's used a lot, no matter if it's only used occasionally, we need all members. We need all the Christians in all the world to fully function as Christ's body as he intended it. But with that, let's hear directly from Paul. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then jumping over to 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be what? No division. No division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, did you notice the idea of unity and diversity? That's what's being presented by Paul. You see, the body of Christ, of which you are a part of, if you are a believer in Christ, uses these different parts with their different functions to create unity. That's what we're doing. What a beautiful illustration of the church as a functioning, interrelated, united, unified body working together for whose purposes? His purposes. So to understand the church, what's so amazing about this, to understand the church, you just need to look no further than your own body. I mean, think about it. When you break your arm, your whole body has pain often, right? It affects other areas. Or if you hurt a leg, you overcompensate with this leg and the pain spreads. When Josh Allen hurts his arm, it seems to affect our whole community, doesn't it? It definitely affects the whole team. But you know what? On the flip side of that, when you or I, when we work on improving maybe something like our nutrition, our whole body benefits, right? And so likewise, when a brother or sister in the Lord is hurting, we hurt with them, both on an individual basis as well as where there may be something like scandal inside the church, in our own local one, God forbid, or in another congregation, or even in another denomination. The point is we hurt with those. We hurt with those who hurt. We hurt with those who are abused in other churches, and we pray. We pray for their healing. We also hurt together when people are missing. We hurt together when people are missing from the team or missing at the table. We hurt from that, for the whole body suffers in that. The whole body suffers when participants are missing. But we also, you know what? We need to celebrate together. We celebrate when we hear of the gospel spreading like wildfire, maybe in places like Africa or Asia or South America. We rejoice in that. I mean, our Revive team, we had our team leave just yesterday for Honduras. So we celebrate with them. In the spring, we have a team going to Zambia, Africa. We celebrate with them. And more locally, again, next week, we are going to celebrate together as members of our body enter the waters of baptism. And also as people decide to share how God is working through their lives during a time of testimony I mentioned earlier. It will be, I'm telling you, it will be a beautiful thing. It will be a God-honoring thing. It will be an edifying thing. Now, just going back to how we, as the body of Christ, use our different parts to unify and to create unity and movement. Do you know what unity really brings? Do you ever think about that? What does unity really bring? Well, when you think about it, yeah, it brings security, but it also brings maturity, doesn't it? Unity brings maturity. Working together, okay, empowered by Christ, working together, empowered by Christ, and resolving things like conflict and minimizing or eliminating preferences and praying for each other and sharing one another's burdens and celebrating each other's victories, I'm telling you, that brings maturity. That's what it brings. It brings maturity and it brings wholeness. In fact, in chapter 4 of this book we're in, Ephesians, Paul says this in verse 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be what, church? Built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what, church? Mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we gather in a way that no one else does. And we gather in a way that nobody else can, mind you, because again, Christ is our head. So we gather like that, but do you know what else? We scatter as the body of Christ. We go out into this world in a way that nobody else can, because Christ is our head, and thus God, he speaks through us. He speaks through us to the world that he so desperately loves and is calling unto himself and desires to become known by them. In closing, before we pray, okay, I just want to encourage you, please remember the examples that we began with today. Because you know why? When we think about some of the things we've received, it encourages us to give, doesn't it? That's what it does for me. And I want to tell you, we can give. You and I, you can give a timely word of encouragement. You can do that for another. You can send a note. You can send a text message. You can make a phone call still. People do that. People mail letters still. Did you know that? You can do that stuff to check in on someone. And you know what else? We can offer to pray with. We can offer to pray for someone who's maybe struggling. And we can bless people. We can bless them with a meal. We can bless them with generously giving. You know, maybe somebody in need. And the other thing we can do is we can speak scripture. We can speak scripture to someone else as led by the Holy Spirit of God. And we can create bonds together. We can create bonds with people that seem so different from ourselves, but whom God has placed right in front of us for us to do what? To love and to unify with. Just never forget, okay? Please never forget that we have an incredible honor. We have an incredible honor of being a part of Christ's body, a part of his body, a people, a gathering of people intimately connected to God the Father as we pursue him. Intimately connected to God the Father as we pursue him, doing what? Working together to worship and to serve him and allowing him to speak to us and to speak through us from now until eternity and into eternity as we worship and praise him. What I want to do right now is I just want to read a prayer over us. I normally don't read a prayer, but I want to read a prayer over us, the body of Christ, the church, and it's constructed from Ephesians 4:11-16. And I just want to ask you, if you would you just stand together and receive this prayer? Father, we thank you for your church, for placing Christ as the head, and allowing us to participate in your work as members of your body. Please, God, continue to give the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to your church, and empower them to equip your people to do your work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. May this continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of your Son, that we will be mature in you, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. God, we do not want to be immature children, being tossed back and forth by every new teaching. Instead, we ask you, God, to empower us to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more to be like your Son, Christ, who is the head of this body, his church, the church. And please, God, continue to make the whole body fit together perfectly, both here at Revive Wesleyan and every Christian church across our country and across the globe. May each part do its own special work, helping the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy, so that the whole body is growing and full of love to the praise of your glory. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can stay standing. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. We're going to close in song. But I wanted to remind you, testimonies next week, okay? And we're not talking anything long, just 1 or 2 minutes. 1 or 2 minutes. What has God spoken to you during this series? What is something that he's just been doing in your life? Let's encourage each other in that. But right now, let's continue to worship through song.